We're very happy that Lita from the Cambu Project in Siem Reap is going to share with us some of the information she learned from a recent course in leadership. Lita, the
Yes.
floor is yours.
Yes. Thank you very much again. And good morning, everyone, again. Thanks, Bill, for short brief about myself. And I would like to continue a bit more about Cambu Projects organization. Cambu Project organization is working with primary school level. We are working very closely to student, teacher, and community themselves to improve the school building infrastructure and also toilet occlusion block. And we also support the student with their study material plus transportation is bicycle. So this is what we are currently doing. Today I am really happy and also nervous at the same time. Not only my body sick, even my nose also is shaking. Yeah. I try my best today to share what I have learned from the opportunity I got. I can say from Bolinsing. So thank you very much for nominate me to see the new world, how big the world is. I joined the Leadership Academy with 51 people from different countries like Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, Singapore, Thailand, or US. So yeah, many people joined and I have learned a lot Friday in different topics. But the topic that I interest the most is leading beyond authority. And leading beyond authority is the first topic that the common purpose brought up to share to the participant. So I would like to share the presentation I have prepared for you all. So welcome, topics leading beyond authorities. I chose these pictures that I think it related to the topics that we have to go somewhere beyond our authorities. The background that I just saw brief a moment ago, I got the opportunity from American Express Leadership Academy in November, joining for 5 days. And I also graduate online that everyone cannot wear the cap for graduation. We wear like online. Yes, online pictures. So we still can celebrate everyone. Talking about leading beyond authority, we have to see the bullet point. The point like collaborate across location, department, and organization. And another one, understand complex change at work or in the community. Develop relationship with multi-stakeholders. Lead diverse team, both within and outside their usual professional environment. So this is just a picture that I put it for like leader is not something like trying to top up like that. It's not lead beyond authority. Yes, if you see the circle of the authority in size, it's most of the leader they have that one. The inner circle where they have personal authority often diverse from their position, job title, or expert status. So we can say that leadership foster inspiration where authority produce applications. Many leaders all spend their time with the circle of authorities. But the first outer circle, the organization as a whole, where they might have less authority, it kind of reflect to the level of the board director or the whole organization that we should look for. So this is another level of reaching to the beyond authority. Yeah, and the final one, we're talking about the outermost circle in society where they may have no authority whatsoever. So this is something that everyone, all the leaders try to reach out. I would like to show some leaders that they have the leading beyond authority. And these people introduced by the common purpose to the participant or to the leaders who join academy. Yes, I think everyone might know their face. Recently, I only know the Malala's here, and yes. Back to our team, I did invite a few great leaders to join as a speaker at this time today. So, Bill, I thank you very much for helping me with your personal opinion on the leading beyond authority that Bill said. It's talking about people who can take on important leadership role and influence an important issue, whether they have a position or authority or not. So this is really going to the meaning of the leading beyond authority. And also thanks to Bong Sapal, also another speaker for me today. And she also shared her opinion that the topic is very important, and she thinks that it to adapt the notion of this topic and apply to the culture of the organization. And it's open up for all suggestions and comments and inspire individuals to think outside the box. Yes. That is really great word. And to build confidence in order to defend own idea and suggestion for development. So as soon as our working environment is safe and friendly, more people will involve more than their JD and project scope. So this is not something like we're talking about the leader. Even ourselves, we lead ourselves and we lead the department that we are working for. So I would like to go to another one, Robica. I'm not sure that she's here today, but she also joined me with some comment from her that she said it goes beyond the traditional vertical leadership style and instead consider also going sideways and having to lead outside the direct circle to make change happen. And just the organization structure and thinking about all the network that can help. And this is the point that I catch up from the speaker in the academy. She said that we have to try build a relationship with our partner. So we will be step up to the beyond our authority within the organization. The last one, Thai is from AHA. He also joined some comment that he thinks that we as a leader can do more than our own authority in the organization. It is the ability to think outside the box, to move from the comfort zone, to change something that is not working well in the organization. So all this, quote and idea are the meaning of leading beyond the authority. If I'm not give you the specific meaning, but all these knowledge or idea sharing is under leading beyond authority meaning. Yes, the last slide presentation that I would like to show you from the founder of Common Purpose. She's the founder of Common Purpose, and she asked us that, do you as a leader learn to lead beyond your authority? And then she, in the introduction video, she have talk like around 5 minutes, and then I will show you letters. But in this place, the sentence that I catch up from her, and I want to remember myself, and also want to share to everyone. She said that I can't pretend to you that leading beyond authority is the easiest thing to do. The Common Purpose been working on this for over 25 years. And she herself trying to make effective outside the authority and figure out how you finesse power when you haven't got any. So this is really empower me to try more, not to say it or not to disappoint it. So yes. My slide presentation is finished, but I have another one that the video I prepare to show everyone is only 5 minutes. So can you please enjoy watching the video together? I think the internet is a bit slow. Okay, I would like to share screen one more time. Yes.
Welcome to this online module on how do you as a leader learn to lead beyond your authority. I think it's a skill that we all need desperately in the modern world. We all want to deal with complex, messy problems that cross boundaries. The ones that don't are usually quite small. The big ones that we all need to crack cross the boundaries within organisations or cross the boundaries outside organisations. You have to work in partnership with organisations you don't know and with peers within your own organisation that you don't know. On the whole, most of our leadership development teaches us to operate within our own space, within the confines of the business card, the legitimacy that the job title on that business card gives you, the authority conferred by that business card. And I think most of the leadership development we all do is about how to do that. The truth is that there comes a point where you begin to lead peers, lead stakeholders, and lead basically lots of people over whom you have no authority whatsoever, where you've got to learn a slightly different approach to leadership. It's not completely different, but where you can't tell anybody what to do, leadership is a little bit different. So this online module is about giving you the ability to do that, the ability to be the kind of leader who produces change even when they can't tell people what to do, who can work with peers and stakeholders to deal with the really complex, difficult problems where there are no boundaries, and you're going to have to learn to cross them. The tools are not completely different, but the tools are a little bit different. And worth unpicking. So just because this is an online, this is Common Purpose is about experiential learning. This is experiential learning too. It just happens to be online. We're going to give you activities. We're going to do you exercises. We're going to push you to tell your stories and to hear the stories of other people who've been through the same things as we're asking you to do, to be leaders who go beyond the confines of their business card and start leading when they have no authority to do. We'll be pushing you to think through why by doing it, the kind of change that you want to unpick. We'll be getting you to, I hope, think about power and how power comes in different forms. It's authority comes in different forms. It's interesting, once people crack leading beyond authority, I think they often, when they come back within the confines of their own business card, tend to use their authority more lightly because they found other ways of developing the power of communicating, the power to influence, the power to do all kinds of. We'll talk about the different roles that you can play as a leader, how you can lead from the front, the side, the back, the middle, depending on the situation that you're in, and how you need to learn to adapt pretty fast if you're in new territory where you're leading partners, peers, stakeholders, and not just your own team. I can't pretend to you that leading beyond authority is the easiest thing to do. ComPurpose has been working on this for over 25 years, and I spend my life trying to make myself an even more effective outside authority and figuring out how you finesse power when you haven't got any. Sometimes it's not even that you haven't got any power, you've got minus power. You look around the room and you see lots of partners that you're all working with. And it's not just a question of you have no authority to tell them what to do. You almost have a minus authority because the last thing on earth they're going to do is whatever you want them to do. So there's an enormous amount of finesse in this. And there's the reality, there's the courage to go into spaces that are unfamiliar, where there's a real chance that you're going to go and do the wrong thing, and you'll have to adapt pretty fast and produce an agility that maybe is unfamiliar, and you'll be constantly questioned in your legitimacy. By what right are you interfering this? By what right are you not sticking to the confines of your business card? By what right is somebody who knows about this questioning that or pushing for change in an area that you're not directly responsible for? Some leaders think that you're there to maintain things. I think for those of us who are leaders who want to produce real change and crack the really messy, horrible, complex problems that do cross boundaries, we have to cross those boundaries too. We have to learn new skills, and it isn't easy. But I think both as a professional and as a citizen, if you're going to crack the bigger issues as a leader, these are skills you need to develop.
Well, while we're waiting for Lita to rejoin us, let's pick up on that topic that she brought up about leading without power, without authority, without, as the lady said, without having it on your business card that you are the boss. Who's had some experience with that they would share?
To me, I have experience with my father. You know, like his father, because he's a leader too in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's like leading by using his power or his fatherhood. You know, like he's. Because he has a power in the family, he acts like a king who someone in the family cannot talk much. He uses his power to, you know, always think that everyone talking is not good or something. So this is something that I think is not a good leader, that he always use power to lead the family or something. So which is something is not really good. So with this experience, I feel not involved with him. I cannot talk to him much. I cannot talk in the family much. This is something that I have experienced in the family. Yeah, it's kind of a leader who use the power, something of the authority.
So when you encounter that situation, Tai, what can someone do to have their ideas heard?
Sorry, you mean?
I mean, if we're in the face of a leader that is just powerful, acting, use your word, acting like a king, what tactics can we use for dealing with a person like that?
To me, you know, when I was young, I was the one who's silent. I don't speak much in the family and also outside. But as I have, you know, I have experience working with a group of people, with many people. So now I can see myself feel confident to talk with him more when he talks in the family. So I can talk with him. I give some idea. So I you know, be brave to talk to that person, but be careful, because that person, you know, who used the power is always get angry or something, you know. So just be careful with the words, but don't be afraid to talk, because when we talk, they also understand or they know about their mistake as well, or something. So I think just be prepared to talk to that person, but I be careful with the word, be careful with the gesture or something.
you're making some very good points. Lita has rejoined us.
I think it's not only me, the computer also getting nervous. That's why it automatic shutdown, maybe because of the time to updating. Mm-hmm. But now it ready because I use another one. So may I know about the video? Is it finished or it's just the middle?
So the video finished. So we did get to see it, and Lita, I waited for a couple of comments and hoping you could rejoin us soon. But that's a very, very important topic that you brought to us this morning. It many, many times we run into situations where we have ideas, we have ways we think will improve a situation, but we don't necessarily have the power to make it happen. And so leading without that authority is, I think it's a fine art. And in studying leadership, as you know, I've studied leadership some, and my good friend and colleague Peter has studied leadership some. And it's very interesting that many of the best leaders don't, and they have all the power. It's like your lady said, it's on their card, it's on their business. They have all the power, but they don't use it. They lead without the power. And how do you suppose they do that? And I bet you talked about that in your workshop, Lita.
If I listen to you, understand, you asking about how to use the power correctly.
Or how to lead without the power.
Yes. There are different ways that we can use. For example, you can think, if you take out the word powers, what is the word you put to replace the powers, the word powers? But actually, you already have that for some time, like something like respect. Can you use the word respect to lead people? Yes, I think you can. And this is also something that in the small group discussion, they did discuss that if we don't use power, what can we use to replace it? Some people say that if we don't use respect, we use understandings.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't use understanding, we use delegation. So we don't put the powers on the people, but people, they already know what they do because of our leadership style, our leading. Yeah, this is what I can contribute.
Yeah, no, I think you're talking about something very important there. And one of the notions that I learned many years ago that helped me with this issue is think about two kinds of power. And the first kind of power is position power.
Yes.
It says on your card, it says you're the executive director, or you're the president, or you're the CEO, or you're the head coach, or you're the orchestra leader, or whatever the position says, you're number one. And that's position power.
Yes.
Yes. Compare that to a different notion of personal power. And every one of you in this Zoom room today has important personal power that I've witnessed on many occasions. So what's your personal power? Where is that? How does that come about? You were talking about it earlier, so I know you know.
If you are asking about the personal powers,
mm-hmm.
For me, I use love.
Love?
I use love. I love the people around myself, and I respect them.
Mm-hmm.
So I show them by practice. I show them by experience that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a strong power I give to them.
Well, and I've seen you do that in person. I've seen you do that. So what some others in the group, if we can make this an open conversation. Who else has some thoughts on how one gains personal power as opposed to position power?
I have something to say about this.
Please. I'm trying to find who's talking.
It's Ariel.
Ariel, thank you. Please.
Yeah. Well, I think in the business world and in the broad culture in the U.S., there's this, in many places, there's this idea of the alpha male or the alpha person.
Yeah.
This idea of the person in charge, the person who holds the power, who drives everything. And there's a misunderstanding about what this is and how it really works, because it's what it actually is that power is strongest when it's backed by compassion. So you don't have this alpha figure when you don't have a little bit of compassion coming from the same figure to support this strong decision-making, strong intuition, and strong drive. And so I think when you don't have that position, you always have the compassion. So you got to be able to work with that in some way. And to complement what Lita was saying about love, I think that's how you do it. You do it with showing a little bit of vulnerability, a little bit of sympathy, a little bit of something like this. And then you say, but also we need this. Also, let's try that. Also, maybe this is the right approach, you know. So it's a contrast, but also it's a kind of balance where it's like you start with something driven with compassion or sympathy or whatever the moment needs, but then also, you know, a little bit of solid something, but they help each other out, and they don't work too strongly independently of each other, but they really work together, I think.
Oh, that's very, very valuable, very, very thoughtful contribution to the conversation.
Yeah, I try to take that with me. You know, I think we can all benefit from that. You know, it's lots of benefits, lots of situations benefit from this kind of idea, I think, at its best. It's easy to let it run away from you, but this is how you can kind of approach it, I think.
Yeah. One of the best short descriptions I've heard was from of leadership. Effective leadership was from, and I've mentioned Warren Bennis before in our workshops, a brilliant man who's really studied leadership styles and different leaders from around the world in a variety of professions and occupations, says that an effective leader has an inspiring vision and then inspires others to achieve that vision. That he's creating an environment where others can be successful rather than just say, do it, because I'm the boss.
That's exactly what I'm saying, that, you know, you can't just draw, you can work this way where it's just like, I say so, and it must be, and then you lead by brute force. That, of course, can work. We've seen it work lots of times in lots of situations that end up pretty badly. But you know, you can also lead with even the same kind of certain justifications, so long as you actually show sympathy and understanding and a little bit of you know, sharing that vision, like you're saying, where it's kind of like, hey, we're in this together, and this is how we're in it together. So let's both blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you move forward.
I'm just jotting down a few words as we're talking, and I would invite others to add to my list here. But I've heard when we're talking about your personal power, and every one of you has personal power in your organizations, that personal power comes from the love you show and the respect you show and the compassion you show and the openness that you show. Who would add to my list?
So it's Siddharth speaking, Bill. So yeah. I would like to add a few more words. So I think like personal power, it comes from, can be from your appearance. So the way you dress up and the way your posture, and also from your words, like Barack Obama, the way he speaks is with authority. So just whenever he speaks, people listen to him carefully and really like his speak. And also it's about your manner. So just like the leader manner, when sometimes you do not need to use your, I can say, your physical power to lead some people, but they, like your staff or yes, your subordinate, they will look at your manner and they will learn from your manner. And when they see your manner, they, yes, you still have the power effect to the way of thinking and the way they look to you. So that's it from me. Thank you.
No, so I think you're on to something very important there, that if you have the right or you use the word manner and the way that you speak and blending that with respect and openness, oftentimes someone who has no position power in an organization can cause great change, can cause great improvement in that organization using their personal power. many, many good leaders have position power. Okay, they're the CEO, they're the president, they're the boss, but they don't lead from that power. They lead from their personal power because you feel a kinship with them. You feel inspired by them. You want to work with them and do the things together. And so often the greatest power doesn't come from what it says on your name card or what it says on the door to your office. And I see it in your own organization, that I see the influence that you can have on the way that you conduct your English teaching programs. Somebody's not just telling you, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. I don't think. I think you have great opportunity to influence how that English teaching program is carried on.
Inspiring, the work that he did, it is inspiring. Inspiring, inspire people. The personal leader, I think, is an inspiring one. Is very good.
Very much.
So far, we everybody is talking. I just add another one. Everybody is talking about leader, but why we don't talk about our staff? How to be a good staff? Sometimes you challenge to the leaders and how to reflect to your staff. You know, around the world, people were talking and complain to leaders or challenge the leader. And how about the college? So what should you do? I want to do one presentation on this and then tell people that not only keep your eye with your leaders, but watch out your performance. Watch out you yourself, your staff, before you complain to the others. I really want to do one time. I wish.
No, and I think you're talking about something very important. And just because you're staff, just because you're a staff person, doesn't mean you can't be a leader. That often the staff people have more detailed, in-depth knowledge on particular topics than the big boss has. And so using your personal power, love, respect, compassion, openness, appearance, words, manner, inspiring, you can influence your own organization by being a staff and from your personal power. And I expect you've seen that happen in your own organization, Ling Seng.
Yeah. Try to inspire everybody. That is a one that they do.
Yeah.
And a
good leader who has the position power, and we've talked about that. Peter Scontrino has talked about that quite a bit in our workshops that we did pre-COVID, that the really effective leader creates that environment so that all the staff can exercise some personal power.
Can I contribute something? I think
I was hoping you would.
Yeah. I can't stay quiet. I think we're talking about workplace culture. So that, you know, comes from a leader establishing trust, I think, with their team members. And like all the words you've said about openness, but also fostering a culture in a workplace that allows people to contribute and that it's not like linear. It's not from top down always. And appreciating that everybody has a story and brings something to a workplace. It's the same with clients, appreciating that any any young person or family you work with, that they have a story which you can learn from. So a workplace culture of shared learning. And I think that for me, that's about leadership, is actually really appreciating and building a really positive workplace culture for that, and trust. I think if you own up to your mistakes when you're a leader, if you're willing to say when you've done something wrong or you don't know what to do, I think that's really important. And then your staff understand and will trust you and will be more open in sharing knowledge and expertise and working together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have worked enough with several of your organizations, not every one of you in the room now, but on several of them. And I know that you and your leaders work diligently to create that kind of openness. I've seen JB doing this with the work they're doing up on Kulin, and he's open and receptive and listening to a lot of ideas from his staff. And I've seen that happen, Odam, I've seen that happen with Sedda and the way that Build Your Future Today is managed. And Lita, I watched you do that when we did a strategic planning session. And I watched, Tammy's not on here right now, but I watched Tammy do that when we did an all-day session with her team a couple of years ago. So yes, it's really important about being that kind of leader that creates the openness. But what Lita was really talking about and bringing to the conversation is, how do you bring about change within your organization when you are not that leader? You're nodding your head, Lita. I hope I'm making your point for you. That is, how do we bring about that change in the organization when we are not the leader? And I think Lita's message is, we don't have position power, but we always have personal power. And it depends on how we use that personal power. Yelling and screaming and hitting the boss probably isn't the best way to use that personal power. But the words that I've been jotting down on my list of love, respect, compassion, openness, the way we present ourselves, our manner, words, inspiring, building trust, those characteristics are what will get you listened to as an informal leader, as a without the position power. Am I echoing some of the things that you got out of the workshop, Lita?
Yes, Bill. Thank you for helping with those very important points. And the last one that I would like to add is, we have the rule for Lita to live with your authority, like don't be a jerk and be clear and be an audience. So I think this is can lead us to be a great leader, and also we have to focus on partnership. Partner is really important if we want our organization to be more success in a very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when you finished your 5 days on this workshop, and you got back to your next staff meeting, Lita.
Yes.
In the first 10 minutes of that staff meeting, when you were telling them about what you had learned in the workshop, what did you say? What did you tell your people?
I told my team that I'm not a great leader yet, but I will try my best to improve myself. And I told them that being a leader is not easy. You also a leader for yourself. You lead your department. You lead your role and responsibility. If you want to be out of your authority, you can do that. If you ask thinking about beyond authority, Kembu project will be improved faster. Yeah.
Wow. That's a very good message. That's a very good message. It caused me to remember a colleague here in America. Her name is Rebecca Whitman. And she's done a little work with our foundation in the past years. And she was very, very much in women's rights and especially girls' rights. And building the self-esteem of girls, where they tend to get run over sometimes by society and cultural values. And so her organization was called the President of Me.
The President of Me.
The President of Me. So when we're thinking about the personal power, when we don't have position power, Lita, you're still the president of Lita.
Yes.
Yes, you're the president of Lita. And if you use that power, position power, if you use that power with love and respect and compassion and humility and openness and the right words and the manner and trust and partnerships, my guess is you're going to get listened to. So I always liked Rebecca's notion of you're still the president of you. Well, we've got a couple of more minutes here, and I love this topic and I love this conversation. Open to whoever would contribute to this conversation. We're now up to 29 people. I can only see 25 at a time on my screen. So if your hand is up and I'm not calling on you, unmute yourself and speak. I don't see any hands up right now. I see a hand from Srirath from CFR.
I just want to share, to add an effective leader. Mm-hmm. I think it related to the leadership style as well. Like if we use coaching style, we use with the staff, we coaching them for resolving a problem, they need to find the answer by their own, not mm-hmm. we not direct them. Yeah, I think it is very important and to make people feel more confident and motivated to do their task as well.
Yes. Yeah. And you can do that whether you have position power or not. You can do that with your personal power.
Yes.
Questions are very powerful if you get the right question.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, we ask them the question, and they need to find the answer. We give them the answer the first time. Yeah, mm-hmm. But we still discuss or support them if they need support. But I think very important, even we not direct them or give them the answer. You need to do this, you need to do that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't have to be the president of the organization or the executive director to do that. With the right kinds of questions asked very politely and mm-hmm. Skillfully, we can have mm-hmm. big influence. Who else has something they would like to add here?
Hello. From JWO, oh, sorry, from WRC, and then Ariel.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, everyone. So I'm Sani from WRC. Yeah, I would love to add some point about personal leaders. I want to add, kindness. So be a good leader, we must have good kindness, because we work with people. So if we have our personal have kindness, so we can work with all people with good heart, from good heart, and with love. Also kindness, but strict, not kindness only kind to the people, but we must be strict also. Because some people, when we only kind with them, they will brave too much. So if we kind and strict, it will be good. To be a good leader. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent point. Thank you. So, Paul, you were about to say something, I think.
No, I said Ariel in the queue as well.
Oh, okay. We see. Ariel is there.
Yeah, I think it's also very important to point out that within all the things we're talking about in office culture, in considering people's personal power, leadership is a transitive property, so to speak. It's something that is not, you're not born with. You're not like, it's not like your eye color. It's like there's people who lead 100% of the time, every moment of the day. That doesn't exist. Everyone takes a step back. Everyone joins something. Everyone takes the lead. Everyone takes a second role. We all do these things all the time. And it's important to make it clear that this shift is good and encouraged, because some of us can lead better than others, but all of us are capable of leading because we're all good at things. Mm-hmm. And we're all capable of things. And it's important to establish that. We can all be leaders, and there's no such thing as an infallible absolute leader. And yes. it's
even good to even this. Even if their name is King and they think they are,
even if their name is CEO, even if their name is chief director of executive orders of all sorts, no, they can't be the end all authority.
And I think that the critical value of what Lita's brought to us in this conversation today is. When you're in an organization, and you may experience that where the king has all the ideas and the king isn't listening, you still have personal power, and it's about how do you influence that organization when it seems to be run by somebody with just power. How do you influence that? And that's the personal power notion that Lita's brought to us and said, anyone can influence their organization if they have the right ideas and present them in the right way. And my list, which is now about a dozen words, I think captures the core values of how any of you would express your personal power in the face of position power. Love, respect.
That's exactly passion, right. That's great.
Appearance, words, manner, inspiring, trust, partnerships, kindness, humility.
I'd want to add one thing into trust, Bill. You know, talking about organizational cultures and safe zone for us all to share idea and, you know, like express ourselves. Just want to remind every one of us to think about like gender inclusion, because in our organization and internal leader, most of the time, every one of us would think about male dominant sort of leadership. The involvement is not only to encourage women to be part of leadership, but it's also other genders involvement as well. And even those they are men, but probably they're different ethnic minority or those who's like disabled people and so on like that. So we need to ensure that our organization provide a safe zone and a space where those minor gender involved in our discussions and so on like that. It's just a reminder for everyone. And I know that every one of us have done all of this already, but we have to remind each other about gender inclusion.
And that's one of the values of a meeting like this, is that we can remind each other of these.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to add one important quote. It's a quote I learned from my teachers. It's a good quote about leaders. He said in Khmer, let me say in Khmer first, said, Nét đắc nôm lõ cứ kê pra prê kún chê chiang prê đành. It means that bà sân chê dương chê nét đắc nôm đẹp pra prê kún ប្រើសេចក្តីល្អក្នុងការដឹកនាំកូនចៅយើងនឹងទទួលបានការគោរពពីអ្នកកូនចៅពីកូនចៅរបស់យើងប៉ុន្តែបើយើងប្រើព្រះដែងគឺប្រើអំណាចមានន័យថាយើងហ្នឹងគឺបានការខ្លាចពីកូនចៅក៏ប៉ុន្តែក្រោយខ្នងគឺគេជេ I mean that I just want to talk in Khmer first because it's good in Khmer word, but it means that a good leaders, they lead, if they lead by heart, I mean they lead by compassion, the kindness or something, they gain the respect from their team, from the followers. But if the leaders who use their power, their own power, like the position power or something, I mean, they gain, you know, their followers scary or afraid of them, they not gain the respect, but behind them they talk bad about that leaders. So it's important that leaders lead by compassion or by heart, I mean care about their followers, care about their team, so they gain a respect and also love from the team as well. Thank you.
I think that's a very valuable point you're making, and we have done workshops on a couple of occasions that were 2 days long, where Peter and I have talked about leadership, and it's this idea of to be the effective leader of the organization, you need to lead with compassion. You need to lead with openness. And if you remember Peter's definition of leadership was effective leader creates the environment and empowers the people for the accomplishment of organization goals. Says an awful lot, it's really big. And that's an extremely important point about how to be that effective leader. But that's not what the message that Lita was bringing to us today. It's really important, but Lita was saying, and when you're not in that position of the leader, whatever kind of a leader you might have, how can you be a leader from a position of staff? How can the staff person still be a leader within the organization? Doesn't mean boss, doesn't mean tells everybody what to do, but it has influence. And that's where it's all about personal power. And those words that you all keep speaking and I keep making note of here. That personal power comes from grace and kindness and humility and partnerships and openness and listening and compassion and humility. Think about your own organization, and you can probably don't answer now, but you can probably identify, Ty, in your own organization, who are some of the leaders in your group? And Odom, I know you can do that in BFT. Who are some of the leaders in your group? And Langseng, I know you can do that. And Ariel, I bet is you've got fresh eyes on Jaywalk. But if I ask you to, don't answer me, but if I ask you to name three people who really have influence in Jaywalk, could you name those three people? Yes?
I sure could.
Don't name them, but if you
no, could. Absolutely not.
But what?
I wouldn't, not by name.
But by name. But what are the characteristics of those three people?
The same things we keep listing over and over again. There's an open ear. There is a lot of sympathy. There is a strong approach when necessary, which I think is the most important thing. That, you know, you can be kind and you can be sympathetic and understanding, but you also have to establish clarity of action and expectations, mm-hmm. just as much as you're saying, I'm here for you, I will help however I can, I understand where you're coming from, and all that. And that's what I see. And it's not just at Jaywalk, it's also a business thing. It is, and from my background, like a working in the art world thing, and very much a social thing. You know, you don't get ahead by beating people over the head.
Usually doesn't work.
I mean, it might work once, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work as much as you need
it
to
work,
to get ahead.
Doesn't work over the long time, long haul, yeah. does it?
No. And I think it's honestly something that I, even if you're going to get into religious or that kind of inspirational thing, it's how you do it. You know, you win listeners and favor and intellectual space in people's heads and hearts when you say, here is a message. It's backed with a little bit of rules and a little bit of expectations, but also there's a lot of love that's going to reinforce that.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good approach.
I think that's an important summation of what we've been talking about here today. And Lita, again, we're very grateful that you bring this topic to us, because it's a pretty straightforward conversation about what should the leader of an organization do? How should that leader behave? How should that leader treat other people? We've talked a lot about that. But when you're not that leader, how do we exert some influence and cause a group to do some interesting things? I think the CLLC is worth a couple of minutes of conversation. That, and one activity of the CLLC was your recent flea market. Now, I'm confident there were some people who took on leadership roles and got that done. And no, I don't think anybody was the one leader for that. I think that was the group organization. And I've watched this CLLC develop into a group that I think is quite valuable. To the people who participate, the fact that there's 29 people, oops, here's another one, going to be 30 people in this room together right now would indicate that this group has value. And yet there's no president of the CLLC. There's no executive director. There's no treasurer. There's no executive. But there's leadership. But there's leadership in the CLLC, and you all know who it is, and you've watched it come about. And I think that's the kind of informal leadership that Lita brings to us in this conversation this evening, this morning.